Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture reading today comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43 on pages 48 and 49, or up on the screen. Please follow along as I read. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. So this is a pastor's report disguised as a sermon disguised as a pastor's report. And so underneath all of those disguises, there is a surprise show and tell that you didn't know was coming. This is the sign in an emergency department that is posted there, required by law, stating that if you are having a medical emergency or are in labor, as if that's not sometimes a medical emergency, the emergency department is obligated to care for your emergency needs first and then deal with the financial and legal issues later. And my friend who took this picture is a nurse in an emergency department that she said, this is the best picture she could get because they were operating that night at about 200% of their capacity. And they were operating at such excess of their capacity because, of course, there are so many people who the emergency department, because of this law, is a place that they can turn, but they don't have any other place to turn for medical care. And in the system that we have, the majority of emergency department care in the United States goes uncompensated. It varies kind of by location and setting and probably how you count, but the majority of emergency department care in the United States goes uncompensated. Which becomes a really big problem for small hospitals and especially small hospitals in rural communities, as the ethical imperative to care for the person in need in front of you crashes into this really deeply imperfect and limited system of medical finance that we have in our country. Now, I'm talking about the church. This is a pastor's report, of course. But one part of church leadership is that work of weighing the balance between the ideals that Christ calls us to and the practicalities of the world that we live in. And our congregation effectively has a sign like this. We don't say it's the law, we say it's the gospel, right? That if you're here, we care for you, we love you, we serve you. We will feed you and serve you and worship together. We will serve our neighbors together. But we also, as a congregation, have to discern where we're going to engage with our neighbors, both locally and around the world, where to engage and where to step aside so that someone else can engage better than we can. And that's partly about just the real realities of how many resources we have. And we have a lot, but there is no one congregation that has enough in the bank to solve every problem that the world has. And so the question is, what can we ourselves do? But it's also more about identifying who we are, understanding our identity, understanding our gifts, understanding whom we are in relationship with, because no one congregation can be everything that the world needs. We all bear Christ's love differently in the world. There's grace in that, but there's also a need to discern in that. Because no one congregation is meant to be everything to everyone all the time, but we also can't limit the scope of God's action. And so there's value in seeing what else God is doing in the world. Now, this is a pastor's report that is also a sermon. And so in a sermon, I talk about scripture. And in today's scripture reading, there are questions about the limits and the scope of Christ's power to save. There's a story about how much more Jesus is doing than we can see. See, there's this dramatic moment in Jesus' ministry as he crosses paths with at least two critical needs, and the story turns on that question of who gets healed and when. And whether or not there had been a sign, the emergency department would triage this woman in the crowd lower on the list than the girl who is actively dying. This woman is chronically ill, and she should be healed, but she could be healed tomorrow. This poor girl cannot be healed tomorrow. She needs to be healed right now. But that woman, she does not wait her turn. She does not wait her turn, and she reaches out, and she grabs Jesus' robe as he is walking by, and he feels, not he decides, he just feels the power going out of him. And he stops and he turns and he talks to this woman and he identifies the desperation to reach out and grab the robe of this passing teacher. He identifies that as faith. But that conversation, it takes so much of Jesus' time that the little girl he was going to heal, she dies while he's standing here having this other conversation that did not need to happen today. That's why emergency departments triage. That's why you don't get seen in the order in which you arrive, because we know in human terms that one healing can take away the opportunity for a different healing. Not to mention, of course, that surely there were others in the crowd who also wanted healing, but Jesus' power seems to have only gone to this one woman. And it's easy enough for us to say, well, healing doesn't always come in the way that we want to or at the time that we hope, but really, isn't Jesus' power big enough? Isn't Jesus' power big enough to save everyone? That's ultimately the question. Isn't Jesus' power big enough? Do we have to choose whether we're going to love and share with this one person and not another? But this story tells us, these two interwoven stories, they tell us that Jesus does not finally choose between healing this bleeding woman and that dying girl. He heals the one and raises the other one from death. Because Jesus doesn't make choices that follow the patterns that we would use when we are making choices. That's part of why when we are making choices as a church, we try not to use the word decide, we try to use the word discern. Because we're not ultimately trying to decide what it is we think should happen. We are ultimately trying to recognize what God knows should happen. We're ultimately trying to seek a will that is Christ's will and not our own. And so, in the way that Jesus chooses, the way that Jesus' will works in this story, not everybody is healed all at once or in the way that we would have expected it. And so the question becomes, where is God at work right now in this moment, in this story that we live together? Jesus doesn't ultimately place the woman in the crowd and the girl lying on the bed in competition with each other. There is enough healing to go around, provided that we use it well. There's enough healing to go around, but that doesn't mean that we just use it indiscriminately. Even that accidental, seemingly stolen healing, it has a purpose and maybe even an intention behind it. Because Jesus uses that scene to tell us, in part, that the future of the community, that girl who needs to be saved from death, the future of the community is bound up with the well-being of the most chronically marginalized and isolated people within that community. Not only are the young girl and the desperate woman not in competition with each other, the young girl and the desperate woman are part of the same story. So we're thinking today about how Jesus' power works as we discern covenant's priorities for the life and the ministry that we share together. And it's not always easy to relate the priorities that we have before us, to relate those to each other. So the session has invited us to reflect about three different priorities and three different questions. So we reflect today about fellowship, which is, of course, very easy to identify and a genuine need for any community. How can we be in better relationship with each other? We're reflecting today about stewardship. We're reflecting about what not to do, what to set aside because there are better uses for the resources, the time, the energy, the money, the effort that we have to share with each other. And we're reflecting today about mission. How do we expand our reach? How do we extend beyond ourselves? And those don't fit easily together. But Jesus wants to show us that they are not ultimately in conflict with each other. They are ultimately part of the same work that Christ is doing among us. And so we're going to be intentional, as the session has discerned with us. We're going to be intentional about both pulling back where that's appropriate and reaching more widely when it's time and the right place for that. And faith is that Jesus' power is not limited, that we have more neighbors to serve, but obedience is about recognizing that Jesus has a role for us that is not necessarily the same role that someone else has. And then the question, the discernment question, is about where God is at work and where God is calling us to follow. So as we discern, we are seeking God's direction. In a few minutes, the session is going to ask us some questions that are designed to get down below our own sort of human ideas so that we can seek to experience what God is doing in the world. And we will ask where the world needs us. We will ask where we, just as we are, can reach. And we will ask what lives especially reveal Christ to us and with us. And as we reflect together, I pray that we will recognize God's direction for this congregation and for our community. I pray that we will recognize where God is working through us and beyond us. As God works through us in the way that we are, how we are made, and as God works beyond us toward where God's future is being created and coming into being among us. So may it be in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.